The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from the NFB and the NOPBC Facebook group, the Scholarship Program. The National Federation of the Blind's annual scholarship program is the largest of its kind in the nation. Every year, we award more than $250,000 in cash and prizes to blind scholars across the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico in recognition of their achievements and professional aspirations. Thanks to our generous partners, there are 38,000 merit-based scholarships currently available. All scholarships are awarded on the basis of academic excellence, community service, and leadership. The finalists are announced every spring. They then attend our national convention in July, when the winners of each individual scholarship are selected. Scholarship winners have gone on to succeed in careers ranging from computer science and engineering to civil rights law and international diplomacy. How to apply? The 2024-25 scholarship application is now open. The application will close March 31, 2025 at midnight Eastern Time. Eligibility. The following requirements apply to all applicants. Must be legally blind, PDF, link enclosed, in both eyes. Must be residing in the United States, District of Columbia, or Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years of age by July 8, 2025. Must be pursuing or planning to pursue a full-time post-secondary course of study in a degree program at a U.S. institution in the fall of the year of application. Up to 5 scholarships may be given to a person employed full-time while attending school part-time. Must participate in person in the entire NFB National Convention and in all of its scheduled scholarship program activities. Finalists will receive assistance to attend the National Convention. For more information regarding eligibility, we strongly encourage you to review our Scholarship Program FAQs hot link. For Jim Halliday, HumanWare/NFB Scholarship Opportunities. The National Federation of the Blind and HumanWare have a long-standing partnership dedicated to providing STEM development opportunities for students. In 2025, the Jim Halliday HumanWare/NFB Scholarship will once again be awarded to 4 deserving candidates. Each winner will receive a Brilliant BI40 Braille display and $1,000 to help cover tuition fees, supporting their educational journey and preparing them for future success. Please note that HumanWare will have access to all the information you provide in this scholarship application for the purpose of selecting the 4 recipients. To apply for these awards, NFB scholarship applicants will have an opportunity to select a checkbox, which will give them access to the HumanWare scholarship application questions as well. Please note the selection process for these HumanWare scholarships is entirely separate from the selection process for the 30 NFB scholarships. Those selected as HumanWare/NFB scholarship winners will be notified separately by HumanWare of their winner status. If NFB scholarship applicants do not wish to fill out the application questions for the HumanWare/NFB scholarships, simply do not check the box within the NFB scholarship application and bypass the associated questions. Helpful hot links, scholarship program FAQs, scholarship program application checklist, self-advocacy in higher education, Word document by NFB President Mark A. Riccobono, college scholarships and financial aid for students with disabilities via Affordable Colleges Online. The National Federation of the Blind enhances largest scholarship program for blind scholars. Past NFB scholarship winners, I will skip that. Read more about winners in past issues of the Braille Monitor. Scholarship classes are typically highlighted in the August-September issue every year. More information. Thank you to our generous contributors who make our scholarship program possible. And there is a thank you video For more information about the scholarship program, please contact our scholarship committee chairperson. Email is preferred. Katie Mendez, chairperson, that's CAYTEMENDEZ. NFB Scholarship Committee, email scholarships@nfb.org. Phone 410-659-9314, extension 2415. NFB Scholarship Program, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. From the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults at actionfund.beanstack.org. Braille readers are leaders contest, December 2nd through January 17th, 2025. Welcome to the Braille Readers Are Leaders contest in partnership with the National Federation of the Blind. How it works. Recent reviews. Step 1, start by registering yourself, a family member, or a student. Step 2, log your minutes read each day and complete at least the first activity. Step 3, gain reading speed, confidence badges, and more. To help with the reading contest, there is a list on the nbp.org of Children's Braille Book Club current and back titles. Welcome to the only Children's Braille Book Club featuring a new print Braille book every month. For reference, below is a list of recent and past selections in the club. You can purchase available books at the hot link. 2024, note that future books are not yet verified. December 2024, Goodnight Owl by Greg Pizzoli. November 2024, Mars, Earthlings Welcome by Stacy McNulty and Stevie Lewis. October 2024, Gravity is Bringing Me Down by Wendelin van Draan. That's a Dutch name, Wendelin van Draan. September 2024, Lawrence in the Fall by Matthew Farina and illustrated by Doug Salati. August 2024, Lila Greer, Teacher of the Year by Andrea Beatty, B-A-T-T-Y. July 2024, The Paper Bag Princess by Robert Munsch and illustrated by Michael Marchenko. June 2024, Ira Sleeps Over by Bernard Weber. May 2024, Sometimes I Am Furious by Timothy Knappman, K-N-A-P-M-A-N, and Joe Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R. April 2024, Little Beaver and the Echo by Amy McDonald and Sarah Fox Davies. March 2024, The Proudest Blue by a Middle Eastern name I can't pronounce, I-B-T-I-H-A-J, Muhammad, and S-K Ali, and Hatem Ali. February 2024, Harry at the Dog Show by Jean Zion and Margaret Bloy Graham. January 2024, Rin Rubin Plays by Gracie Chang, G-R-A-C-E-Y-Z-H-A-N-G. 2023, December, Sofia Valdez, Future Prez by Andrea Beatty. November 23, Pluto, Not a Planet, Not a Problem by Stacy McNulty and Stevie Lewis. October 23, George and Martha, Tons of Fun by James Marshall. September 23, Horton, Here's a Who by Dr. Zeus. August 23, Interrupting Chicken, Cookies for Breakfast by David Ezra Stein. July 23, Creepy Crayon by Aaron Reynolds. June 23, The Fire Cat by Esther Averill. May 23, I'm Not Scared by You're Scared by Seth Meyers. I think that first buy was a mistake. April 23, Grasshopper on the Road by Arnold Lobel. March 23, Paddington by Michael Bond. February 23, Streganona by Tommy De Paola. January 23, Dear Mr. Dickens by Nancy Chernin and Bethany Stancliffe. I won't read the previous years. From the NFB.org American Action Fund for Children, Blind Children and Adults, Future Reflections Winter Issue, article by Casey West Robertson and Carlton Ann Cook Walker, Training Parents About IEPs. One thing to note about the National Federation of the Blind and NOPBC, if you have a great idea, be ready to carry it out. During a convention a couple of years ago, the NOPBC board started coming up with ideas about training parents on IEPs. Carlton Walker and I worked around the country trying to get access for blind and low vision students through their IEPs. We felt the parents need to have that knowledge. Parents need to be empowered to go into their IEP and get the services their child needs. We recognized that when a blind person goes to an IEP meeting with us, the entire atmosphere in the room shifts. When a competent blind person walks into the meeting room, the low expectations the school staff have for the blind child go out the window. They can no longer say, "She can't do that because she's blind." Thinking about that phenomenon, Carlton and I realized that we needed to train both parents of blind children and of blind adults to be IEP advocates. After going back and forth for a few days, we came up with a name for our new program. We call it IEP Advocacy Academy. At that point, we had a plan and we knew who we wanted to train, but where was the funding coming from? Fortunately, the Lavelle Fund partnered with the NFB to make our program possible. In May 2024, we trained the first 16 advocates to focus on blindness and the IEP. This cohort will run IEP sessions here at convention in the summer. Another part of their commitment is to go back to their states and hold an IEP training for parents and blind people at their state conventions. We know we still need to do more. This is a 2-year program. We will train another cohort of 15 people this coming year. We continue the training through meetings every 3 months via Zoom. It's as though we took a college course and condensed it. We filled the participants with information for 3 days in Baltimore and sent them out the door. We hit the basics in those first 3 days, and we gave them more training through a webinar every 3 months. Each participant will have a mentor when they will go out on their first IEP advocacy case. Their mentor will work with them as they prepare for the IEP meeting. So we're hitting this issue with a top-down and bottom-up approach. We hope to continue this training for years to come. We hope there will be a new cohort training with us every year. We would love to have a spring cohort and a fall cohort someday. An application for the next cohort will come out in early 2025. To show the need for this program, I'll tell you we had 15 spots to fill and we had 125 applications. Out of all those applications, we had to select 15 people. We actually ended up with 16. We tried to look at the geographical range across the nation. We tried to get a balance between blind people and sighted parents. Now Carlton will tell you about some of the things we worked on during the weekend when everyone came to Baltimore. Carlton Walker. I started life as an attorney. Then I became the parent of a blind child, and later I became a teacher of blind students. It's been an interesting journey. I get to do both my attorney thing and my teacher thing at the IEP Advocacy Academy. We start with the basics. What is an IEP? What are the rules of the game? The laws, the statutes, the regulations, the Dear Colleague letters. How does all that material become integrated as we develop the IEP for a particular student? We also gave people boots on the ground tips, things to look out for, things to say, things not to say. We highlighted the top issues for blind and low vision students. Being a lawyer, I love the Socratic method. We had lots of discussions looking at why a rule applies one way at one time and another way at another time. We let the people in the seminar explore the IEP process to gain a deeper understanding. Casey Robertson. One of the highlights of the weekend took place on the final night. We had actors come in. The teams being trained rotated through different rooms where people acted in the roles of a school district and a set of parents. We held mock IEP meetings in these rooms. Each one was meant to bring out particularly emotions in the advocates and the families. The participants could work on how to deal with the feelings brought out during various scenarios that they might see. Sometimes it got very emotional. We left with tears. Some of the parents had been through similar situations themselves. Other parents who had wonderful IEP experiences realized how fortunate they were. They felt they were more prepared to go out and help other parents who were not having good experiences. To learn more about resources in your state, contact education@nfb.org. You will reach the education team. Karen Anderson has a running list of IEP advocates. She and I will try to pair you with the best person in your state, and we'll take it from there. Carlton Walker, none of the advocates are attorneys. What we offer is not legal representation. There is no attorney-client relationship involved. What we provide is knowledge, experience, and emotional support. On the NOPBC Facebook group, there is a PDF documenting an IEP implementation problem. Sample letter documenting an IEP implementation problem. Date, parent's name, address, phone, name, special education director, address. Regarding your child's full name, date of birth, special education classification, visual impairment. Dear Mr. Mrs. Dr. So-and-so, my son, daughter, child's full name is a student in the whatever grade at name of school. I am writing to seek your help with an ongoing serious problem. Our child is blind and, describe problem, cannot access the curriculum without his or her school written materials being provided in Braille as documented in his or her IEP. Every year for the past 3 years, needed textbooks have been pre-ordered 5 months in advance per state protocol to ensure timely delivery. Unfortunately, every year for the past 3 years, many of the Braille textbooks have been delayed, often taking several months into the school year before all are provided. We are 3 months into school, and so-and-so's name still does not have whatever subject science book. Describe the impact of the problem on the child. Child's name is falling behind in his or her studies due to lack of access to the curriculum. He or she is severely stressed and cries frequently because he or she cannot keep up with the schoolwork. This situation is adversely impacting so-and-so, educational progress, and his or her mental health. Request a reasonable and appropriate resolution. We have attached a list of qualified private certified Braille transcribers with whom the district can contract, according to our state school for the blind. We are requesting the district make immediate arrangements to engage an appropriately qualified private contractor to provide chapters of the textbooks being currently utilized in class until such time as the missing textbooks are delivered. When we suggested this solution to the problem at our meeting, whatever months ago, date, I know you stated this option was too expensive. However, we hope you will reconsider given the ever-worsening adverse impact on child's name, as well as to ensure school district compliance with our child's IEP accommodations. Please provide a written response to this request as soon as possible, but no later than give a reasonable deadline, such as a week. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Sincerely, your name, copy the school district superintendent, school providers, and please ensure a copy of this letter is retained in my child's permanent education records in bold type. NFB scholarship winner Cole Carper's essay has been posted in its entirety on nfb.org as of Friday, December 6th. While most people think of being blind as some kind of tragedy, I don't always see it that way. My name is Cole Carper, and I have been legally blind since birth. I attended Arkansas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired until third grade when I transferred to public school. After I learned basic skills, my parents felt it was best that I attend traditional school that represented the real world. I now know this was the right move for me. I've always been involved in activities that interest me, such as mountain biking, snow and water skiing, competitive swimming, cross country, and track. I've found that people, if allowed, will limit me more than my blindness justifies. Pushing the limit is often met with surprise or questions about how I can do these activities. Sighted people will handicap me if I let them. Early on, my family worked hard to find a sport in which my sister, also blind, and I could compete and excel with sighted peers. After discovering that ball sports were not my strong suit, I tried martial arts and eventually found my home in the pool. I started swimming in sixth grade. Then swimming a single lap of the pool seemed a daunting task. From that point on, I started swimming almost daily to improve my ability. Through hard work and diligent practice, I have qualified for the state championship meet in all 4 years of high school. I am now best at the 50-yard freestyle and the 500-yard freestyle, the shortest and longest races in my high school league. I swim because I enjoy the competition, but also because it allows me to educate people about the abilities of blind individuals. People are surprised to see the blind guy touch the wall before those who can see it. This year, I have grown my leadership skills as captain of my high school swimming team. While the team has been relatively small in the past, it has doubled in size through my constant recruiting efforts. As captain, I also worked to ensure students did not miss the races, helped coordinate transportation, and worked with inexperienced swimmers on technique. I believe my abilities as a blind swimmer and leader motivated my teammates. I have been a committed member of my church youth groups in sixth grade. This program has allowed me to serve on many mission trips, two to Kentucky, one to Guatemala, and many around Arkansas. On these trips, I learned how to use drills and other power tools to build and repair houses, roofs, and wheelchair ramps. In Guatemala, our team built an entire house from the concrete foundation to the electrical wiring. In Harlan, Kentucky, my group installed a tin roof for a family in need. I was able to work on the roof safely, which somewhat concerned my mom upon my return. For some tasks, like hammering and measuring, I had to adapt the standard method, and they took me slightly longer to complete, but complete them I did. I have been on the church youth group leadership team for 5 years and am currently the president. The team's purpose is to plan events, fundraisers, and volunteer opportunities for students. As president, I've collected information from members for trip planning and decision-making. I've also created announcements for events and recruited students for service projects. These interactions with sighted people have helped me educate others about what it means to be legally blind. People are constantly surprised that I can cook, do handiwork, and even do my schoolwork without assistance. Their surprise is surprising to me, because these skills or adaptations have always seemed natural to me. Through my activities and experiences, I've learned the importance of self-advocacy and independence. My vision to become a successful aerospace engineer is not limited by my limited vision. I know that I have to work hard and be well-educated to achieve this goal, which is why I am submitting this scholarship application. Thank you for considering my application for this award. Now from ACB.org, the details of the ACB Scholarship Program. The American Council of the Blind's ACB Scholarship Program was established in 1982. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, in partnership with other organizations and individuals, offers educational scholarships ranging from $2,000 to $7,500 for entering freshmen, undergraduate, and graduate students, and those attending technical college. This program awards students with scholarships to help with post-secondary education financial needs, such as tuition, fees, room and board, and other additional costs associated with assistive technology. To be eligible for a scholarship, applicants need to be legally blind, maintain a 3.0 GPA to be eligible for most scholarships, be a full-time student or a part-time student who works at least 32 hours per week, and be involved in their school and local community. Scholarships are awarded to students who attend post-secondary institutions in the United States. In 2024, ACB awarded over $100,000 in scholarships to 21 individuals. There's a hot link to meet our 2022 scholarship recipients. Don't know what happened to 23. You will need to include the following documents with your completed application. Number 1, certification of legal blindness from an ophthalmologist, optometrist, or physician. Legal blindness is defined as an individual who cannot see better than 20/200 in the best eye with glasses or contact lenses, or whose visual field in the best eye is 20 degrees or less at the widest diameter with glasses or contact lenses. Number 2, a transcript, or plural, from the school you are currently attending. Entering freshmen will need to include their high school transcripts, and graduate students will need to include undergraduate transcripts. Unless extenuating circumstances exist, a 3.0 cumulative grade point average is required. Number 3, 2 letters of recommendation from a current or recent instructor, career counselor, or employer. Please submit each letter of recommendation separately. Number 4, proof of acceptance from a post-secondary school. Entering and transferring students must submit a notice or letter from the admissions office certifying acceptance or consideration for admission. If this is not available when the application is submitted, it must be submitted as soon as it is available. Students continuing at the same school attended during 2023 will not need to submit this document. Applications for the 2025-26 school year can be submitted in online from Wednesday, November 1st, 2024 to Wednesday, February 14th, 2025, 11:59 p.m. Central Time. All interested candidates must register for an ACB account prior to submitting a scholarship application online. Once you have created an account with ACB, please log in and then you can access the scholarship application from the link at the top of the site. There's a hot link to create an account or log in. Scholarship winners will experience firsthand ACB's National Conference and Convention in July, where you will meet other students who share the same life experiences, create lasting friendships, and network with individuals who understand what you are going through and can help you with your journey. There are also many sessions where you can learn about new technology and what is happening in our community. For more information, please contact the ACB office at 612-332-3242 or call 1-800-866-3242 or send an email to scholarships@acb.org. We look forward to receiving your application materials. To maximize the financial impact, scholarship awardees may receive a combined AFB and ACB award. Bay State Council of the Blind, ACB. Massachusetts resident who is a full-time or part-time student, minimum of 2 classes per term. Dwayne Buckley, ACB. Undergraduate who has overcome major difficulties. Dr. Bradley Burson, ACB. Studying in the field of science or technology. Kelly Cannon, ACB. Studying in the field of computer science, data processing, programming, web development, etc. William G. Corey, ACB, be a Pennsylvania resident. Charles Dillman, AFB, 4 scholarships, studying in the field of disability rehabilitation or teaching. Rudolph Dillman, AFB, 4 scholarships, studying in the field of disability rehabilitation or teaching. Eunice Fiorito, ACB, studying in advocacy or disability services. R.I. Gillette, Gladys C. Anderson, and Karen D. Carsell Memorial, AFB, for an undergraduate woman studying music. John Hebner, ACB, must be working full-time and enrolled in substantial courses. James R. Olson Memorial, ACB, undergraduate studying business, computer science, or information technology and involved in community service. ACB Oregon, ACB, Oregon resident. Ross N. Pangier Foundation, ACB, 3 scholarships, studying in the field of business, computer science, or information technology. Floyd Qualls Memorial, ACB, 5 scholarships, general studies. Paul and Ellen Rooks, R-U-C-K-E-S, AFB, 2 scholarships, studying physical or computer sciences or engineering. Norma Schechter, S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R, ACB, general studies. Arnold Sadler, ACB, studying in the field of disability rehabilitation, education, law, etc. Tech for All, TFA, ACB, majoring in a science, technology, engineering, or mathematics STEM program. To learn more about Tech for All, visit www.tfacconsulting.com. That wraps up this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode was underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.